Our church is a world record holder. At least a few of us are. It's not for the longest game of dodgeball or creating the largest ball of string or being the quickest puzzle solvers. 5 years ago, seven youth and adults from CMPC participated in the Big Day of Serving in Virginia, where we were part of a group of churches and community organizations gathered to do service projects outside. We piled and raked mounds of fresh dirt on baseball fields. We dug up and moved big rocks on a school garden. And we pulled down an enormous amount of brush, including lots of poison ivy, that had overtaken a neglected home. But before we began our big day of serving, we had some fun and attempted to unseat the Ford Motor Company as the Guinness World Record holder for the largest game of red light, green light. It's official. It's documented. If you Google Guinness World Records, red light, green light, there's an article that reads in part, some 755 people showed up to play the children's game red light, green light, far more than the 452 needed to beat the Guinness World Record for the largest game ever played. Manassas City Councilman Ian Lovejoy was the official game announcer. The whole game lasted 4 minutes, city officials said. You'll also find an article that shows we've been knocked out of the record book by Willamette University in Salem, Oregon. It almost didn't happen because the game got off to a dangerous and bizarre start. There we were, over 700 people lined up across the soccer field, about 5 to 10 people deep, numbers written in marker on the back of our hands to make the count legitimate, wrists wrapped with colored bands coded to where to stand on the starting line. There was a real attempt at organization because, well, Guinness requires that or it doesn't count. A man on the other end of the field had this little megaphone and was trying to broadcast instructions. Apparently that was City Councilman Ian Lovejoy. You probably know how to play the game. The leader shouts, green light, and turns his back. And then everyone starts creeping towards the finish line where the leader is standing. And when the leader shouts, red light, and quickly turns around, you have to freeze. If the leader sees you moving, you get called out, and you have to go back to the starting line and begin again. The goal is to be the first to cross the finish line without being seen. We started the game, and the guy at the far end of the field, Councilman Lovejoy, shouts green light into his little megaphone, and in the excitement and the adrenaline rush of the game where we were trying to take down the Ford Motor Company, everyone bolted. And then there was confusion with too many people, with not enough space, and a woman started yelling. Her little girl had been bowled over by someone dressed up in a big mascot costume. I don't even remember what it was a mascot of, Gruff the dog or Smokey the bear or something. This person had on a huge head and couldn't see the little one standing there, and so he bumped into her and knocked her down. And the mom was angry and shouted at everyone. It was a surreal moment. Minutes before the game started, we had all been singing and chatting, and now chaos. Once it was obvious the little girl was okay, we started looking at one another. Were we to keep going? Had the guy shouted red light? Did he even know what was going on over here at the starting line? How were we to play the game if we couldn't hear when to stop and when to go? And then after that chaotic start, everyone was called back to the starting line and we began over. Red light, green light, red light, green light, red light, green light, stop, go, all the way up the field. And then someone crossed the finish line, the game was over, and we beat the record. What was Moses' red light? What was Moses' green light? Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked. And the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Moses' story is told often, isn't it? He's the man whose life is neatly tied into thirds. First 40 years, from basket on the Nile to privileged upbringing, the Prince of Egypt. Second 40 years, from fugitive out of Egypt for murder to shepherd in the desert. Third 40 years, from burning bush to, well, the rest of the story. Our text puts us at the starting line of his final third of life. Life has become good and predictable for Moses. He's probably great at what he does, tending sheep, which he's been doing for nearly 40 years. In his comfort zone, cruising towards retirement, settled into his day-to-day. Boring? Maybe. At least he knows what he's doing. Why not enter your 80s knowing what you're doing with few surprises? Surprises are overrated. Probably the last thing on his mind is returning to Egypt for a new career. That day, Moses could have kept going in his typical sheep-tending kind of day, thinking about getting a sheep from point A to point B, wondering what his wife, Zipporah, was preparing for dinner that evening. The angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why this bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." "No, Moses. No, don't turn. Keep on keeping on. Life is good. Life is comfortable. Life is about to change." Moses turned, and then God turns, and then God speaks. Moses is doing what he normally does, but now sees or hears something that is a bit unusual, different from the ordinary, and so he stops and turns, and then God speaks. The text doesn't say that God speaks and then Moses turns. How do you hear God? Where do you hear God? What makes you stop? What makes you turn aside? Is your life quiet enough, still enough to hear God, to feel God's presence? Is there too much chaos at the starting line? Are you surrounded by people and instructions and confusion? Are there projects to do, practices or meetings to attend, errands to run, things to plan? Is there just too much noise? So much noise that it's nearly impossible to hear God say, "Red light, stop!" Or even more like, "Stop." Journalist Christiane Amanpour narrated a television series a few years back on the lands of the Bible, called Back to the Beginning. The series used the Old Testament as a guidebook. One episode takes her into the Sinai Desert following the trail of Moses. She visits St. Catherine's Monastery, one of the oldest monasteries in the world, tucked into the mountain in the same remote area where the Bible says that Moses finally stopped running and experienced the burning bush and the voice of God. Christiane is welcomed by Father Justin, a Greek Orthodox priest, the caretaker of the monastery. She asks Father Justin about the pilgrims that he's met, those who come to the monastery. She wonders what it is that they take away from their visit. Father Justin says, "They become aware that you have to be away from the distractions and the routines of modern life to really become aware of God's presence." So how do we come away from the distractions and the routines of modern life to really become aware of God's presence, where we can notice our burning bush so that we can turn aside and hear God speak, hear God call? You just heard that a bunch of us recently returned from a week away from our normal busy lives for the Gen On Youth Summit. The week was filled with burning bushes, where we stepped out of our sheep-tending kind of life to notice God, where we were reminded to clothe ourselves with the compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience of Jesus Christ, and to wear that clothing as we return to our sheep tending. None of us should wait a year or more for such an experience. And Moses said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." At what point did Moses enter this holy ground? Maybe holy ground wasn't some special space around the burning bush, but holy ground was the place that Moses encountered God. So maybe it's anywhere we encounter God, which can be anywhere. There's nothing holy about walking barefoot. Could it be that the sheer act of removing his sandals meant doing something, noticing, realizing, remembering that God is present, that God has been heard? Maybe it was the stopping, the turning aside, and the removing of his sandals. The, "Yes, God, I am paying attention, I am listening," that made it holy, that made that place holy space. Have you seen Won't You Be My Neighbor yet? It's a documentary of Fred Rogers, creator and magnificent person behind Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. The movie is filled with a million important messages. Go see it today in the theater with the rest of humanity, and you may even cry. One of my favorite parts among many was when he describes how he would always imagine looking at just one child through the television camera, not an entire audience. And that he considered the space between his camera and the child's eyes to be holy ground, a sacred space where deep conversation could take place. He said he kept this in mind with every word he chose and every tone of voice he used. So often we expect to see God in the big moments of life, the drama, the trauma, the celebrations, and God is there because God is everywhere. But God's not just there. God is also in the quiet times, the stillness, even the silence. And God uses it all to wait for us to notice and then to turn aside. And then God calls out, "Moses, Moses, Katie, Katie, John, John." And we answer, "Here I am." And we remove our sandals or lay down our phone or click off the television or turn from our work. And then we're standing on holy ground so that we can stop and turn aside and hear God's call on our lives. While we complain about the busyness of our lives and how much we crave downtime, stopping is scary. We know how to be busy. It takes practice to be still and settle down. What does it take to get your attention? What's your burning bush? He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. When Moses realized it's God speaking to him, he hides his face because he's afraid. Frederick Buechner writes that Moses certainly should have been afraid if he had any inkling of what God was going to say next, because what God said next was as holy and fiery a word as there is in the Old Testament or anywhere else. And that word was go. God sent Moses to go and rescue the people of Israel, to a place where Moses didn't want to go, to a place where Moses knew it wouldn't be an easy place to go. God sent Moses to go, despite his lack of confidence, despite his long list of reasons why he shouldn't or couldn't. Every one of us is called to go, to be shaken out of our sheep-tending, I know what I'm doing kind of life, and go. None of us are too old or too young or too busy, or too settled, or too whatever. We are all called to offer hope where there is hurt, to protect those in need, to rescue, to heal, to provide, to comfort, to build, to be a friend, to be friendly, to teach, to... What is God calling you to do? Where is God calling you to go? Sometimes that means dream small. The Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes reads, "Whoever observes the wind will not sow, and whoever regards the clouds will not reap." In other words, if you keep waiting for the perfect conditions and timing to go where God is calling you to go, or do what God is calling you to do, you'll never get anywhere. God calls each of us to stop and listen. So let's stop, let's turn, let's listen, and then let's go. Amen? Amen.